popped up. I'm not sure if Dalton explained a little bit. Our power went out yesterday, and we didn't get it back on until very early this morning. And then, on my way here, guess what? My car was dead. So Mama Lorna had to come and pick me and the boys up. But you know what? I just had to laugh because in the end, I'm like, sometimes unforeseen things happen, right, that can distract us, make us lose our line of thinking to try to get us unraveled. But
I tell you what, God's love, okay, it brings us back. It circles us right back that even when things are not going our way, He is there and He is with us. And I was just thanking Him that I could just start laughing, because normally I would just start to get so anxious and just let my mind go amok. But I know that God is in control. And in preparing for this sermon, there were a lot of different just thoughts that I had about what to share today. And God's love, it just kept coming back to me. And at first, I thought I was going to talk a little bit about how we're to love Him. And it kept coming, circling back, that He wants to remind all of us just how much He loves us. And during these times, these very uncertain times in our lives, we can ask the question, okay, well, God, where are you in this? Where is God's love being shown in this world with so many crazy things happening, right? So He wants to today, He wants to first and foremost reassure you of His love. And that love is not a weak love. That love is a powerful love that is working on your behalf. So I'm just going to start off in prayer, and then if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Romans chapter 8, that is going to be where we're going to be coming from, starting in verse 28. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just thank you that right now you are here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who is with us at all times, no matter what is going on, you are there. And if you are there and in the midst, you are working together for our good, Lord God, not for our harm, not for our demise, not for our failure, Lord God, but for our success. And as we come to believe, and even through today, Lord God, that you would just increase our faith, increase our belief, Lord God, on how much you love us. There is never a day that goes by that your love isn't there, that it isn't active, oh God. And we just acknowledge that, Lord, and I pray that through your word, Lord God, that your people would sense your love, that each and every one of us, Lord, would know it, that we wouldn't just hear this, Lord God, but that we would know that we know that we know. If we don't know anything else today, Lord God, that we know how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Romans 8:28. This is a very common verse that a lot of us may have heard before. And before we just kind of get into that, I want to talk a little bit more again, like I mentioned, about God's love, how powerful that love is. For this is the basis and example that we have to use so that we can then emulate the proper kind of love. Love is the highest expression of God toward humans, towards all of us. It is by definition an earnest, an anxious, dare I say, a jealous desire for and an active interest in the well-being of another. God Himself is love. John 1:4 and 8 tells us that God is love. It is a part of his nature which is extended to all of creation and causes him to act on our behalf, meaning his love is what drives him toward us. It drives him to act on our behalf. His greatest acts, again, inspired by love. 1 John 4 and 9 through 10 says, he showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His love is also powerful. That same love is what raised Jesus Christ from the dead. According to Ephesians 1:19 through 20, it says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. The love that God has, this is not just a love like what we have for one another. This is an extraordinary love. It is a love that doesn't change. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Again, this is an active love, a selfless love. This powerful love is continually shown for us today and for everyone. And our job is to receive that love, believe it, so that we can then experience that love and help others to be able to come to know that same love. We're going to turn now to Romans 8:28. I'm going to read the scripture, and I'm coming from the NIV. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God actively and powerfully causes all things to work for the good. That is the pleasant, the excellent, the honorable things. He's done this in the life of so many. He did this in the life of Joseph. Even though he went through a lot of crazy trials, most of all, we know the story of Joseph. Genesis 50:20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. There can be things that that are happening right now where you're like, God, what in the world is going on in my life, right? But he is working that very thing for your good in some way. When you know this, you can go through trials and still have a joy about your day, a joy in your walking through life, knowing that, you know what? Yeah, God, I might not understand this. I might not like this, okay? I don't know why you haven't changed this, right? Because it's a problem. But he's saying, you know what? You don't worry about it. You trust in me and know that no matter what is happening, there is nothing too big for me, and I am going to work it for your good. Not only am I going to work it for your good, I've already been working behind the scenes, and I am working this together for your good. So that is an encouragement for us today. This promise we have to remember, this is especially for those who also love him, right? We also want to love him, welcome him, engage him, have fellowship with him. When we love God, we do also obey his commands, right? John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. This means you submit to him and you also do what he says. Not what other people say. Not what people at work say. Okay, if it goes against what God has said, we have to stand firm and make sure that we are obeying Him. Because part of that love is trusting Him, right? So we can show Him that we love and trust Him when we obey His commandments. Jesus Himself spoke this as the greatest commandment in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 39. He says, when He was asked, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We have to know His commandments in order to follow Him and in order to extend that love to others. Those who love God also know Him. John 14, 21 and 23 says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want for God to come and to make his home with us? Hallelujah. He wants to do that. God's power works for good, also for those who are called according to his purpose. What does it mean to be called? The Greek word for called is the same as being invited. And this is in a loud way, being invited to come. And it's something that is personal, where it means he's calling specifically to each and every one of us individually. He's calling to you. He's calling to every one of us, right? And everyone across the world, right? This invitation is not, he literally is crying out to everyone in this world to come, to hear the gospel and to believe so that they can know him like we do, for those of us who have said yes to him. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14 says, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through the gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has called, and for us in this room, we have said yes, okay? But there are those who are still being called who have yet to say yes. And this is where we who have the Lord in us and with us, we need to talk to other people. We need to extend that calling to others to say, hey, listen, do you know Jesus, right? Do you know how much God loves you and what he has done for you? Come. If you don't know, come to church. Come learn a little bit more about God so you can make an informed decision. Let our lives be led in a way that people can also learn from the way we live, the way that we respond to things, right? That God lives in us, so that more and more people can say yes to that call. Verse 29 of Romans 8 tells us that God's love powerfully also conforms. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those God foreknew, he predestined. God has always had foreknowledge, meaning that God has known everyone ahead of time. And there are no surprises for God. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. These words he originally spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, and he continues to speak those very same words to us today. He knew each one of us before we were born. And he knows you now. He knew that you would receive him. He knew what your steps would be, and he has specific appointments and assignments and purpose for every one of us. Exodus 33:17 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." God knows us all by name. He knows your name and he knows everything about you. The enemy can come and tell us, right, that we can never do anything right, that there's no way that we please God in any way. He will point out every failure that we have, but God wants us to know that, you know what? You please him. You please him just by being here today. You please him whenever you make godly decisions. You please him. So when those thoughts try to come in your mind that, oh no, I don't please God, why would God even love me? He loves you unconditionally, and you do please him. You please him. He is pleased with you today. Don't let anything else get in your mind to tell you otherwise. He is pleased with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That is good news. Oh, my goodness. Also, in that same scripture, when it's talking about God predestining who we are, that means that God has decided beforehand, establishing from eternity, that those who would receive Christ would be able to conform to the image of Christ. Hallelujah. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as we submit to him, as we do those things to grow in him, then we become conformed into his image. That means we're being transformed. We're being made more like him on a regular basis. And that is a desire. And if you don't feel like you're having that desire, then you just pray and say, you know what, God, increase my desire because I want to be more like you. And put people in my life that are going to help me to be able to do that. You know, sometimes the decisions that we make impact how we react, right? And if we're surrounded with people who are constantly just wanting to be conformed, wanting to be more like Christ, who have that desire, you see it in them, you know that they're studying his work, they're doing everything that they need to do, and they're just on fire to do what God wants them to do, those are the people that need to be in the forefront in our lives. They're the ones whose opinions we need to value, right? To help us, to be those confidants, to help gear us in the right direction so that we can continue to be conformed. It's an ongoing thing, right? We'll never truly be there until we're in heaven, but we want to strive to continue to be conformed in his image. Hallelujah. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Hallelujah. This is an inner transformation. This is where the spirit of a person is tuned in and aligned to the Spirit of God, who helps us to live in a way that is pleasing to him. So how do we conform to be more like Christ? First, we admit that we are a sinner. We have missed the mark, right? We have all done things that we should not have done. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when we mess up, we repent. And we just acknowledge that and we say, you know what, God, I am sorry. Please forgive me. Cleanse me so that you can continue to dwell and work in and through me. The second thing to conform is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means being persuaded and having confidence of who he is, and then submitting to that. Acts 16:31 says, They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household." John 20, verses 31 say, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Another way to continue to conform, and this may be new to some folks who are watching or listening, but confess. And that just means to declare, to profess that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." So those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his Son. Why? Glad you asked. So that Christ might be the firstborn of many brothers. By becoming the firstborn, Christ set the stage so that others could follow in his footsteps. Colossians 1, 18 and 22 says, "And he is the head of the body, that is the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ, by his physical body, through death, to present you holy in his sight and without blemish and free from accusation." Jesus set the pattern for the rest of us on how we should live and how we can be in right relationship with him. He is the master over both life and death, and this is something that we too have to look forward to. His death on the cross was a vehicle by which all sin was paid, therefore making our peace with God so that we could be reconciled to him. We don't make ourselves holy. God makes us holy. He makes us holy through the blood of Christ, which makes us clean and puts us in right standing before God. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 30. God's love powerfully justifies and glorifies. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Those God predestined or appointed beforehand and called, remember, just invited to salvation, he justified, meaning he declared to be righteous and fit to receive pardon for sin and eternal life. Justification means that God himself declares that all who have accepted salvation through Jesus Christ are free from the penalty of sin. Romans 5, 9 says, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" Hallelujah. Those he justified, he also glorified, meaning he magnified, honored, and called excellent. That's you. You have been justified and you have been glorified, meaning God honors you. That just blows my mind, the fact that he would honor me or call me excellent when I make so many mistakes. But that's what love does. That's what love does. Love lifts. And that's what he wants to do for us. He wants to continue to lift us up. Verses 31 through 34. God's love also powerfully covers. It reads, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and intercedes on our behalf. So when the enemy tries to come against us, accuse us in our minds, Jesus is sitting right there at the right hand of God, and he's standing up, whoa, whoa, whoa. My husband likes to raise his hand when he's trying to make a major point. No. Okay? That's what Jesus is doing. He's standing up when the enemy tries to accuse you in front of God, and you get those things trickling down in your ears and in your heart. Jesus is, no. She's mine. No. He's mine because I already covered it. I already covered it. Hallelujah. So there's nothing that any of us has done that God cannot forgive, that really in his mind is not already forgiven, because God is eternal. Like I mentioned before, he said that he foreknew us before we were even born, but he also sees the very end. He can see everything all at once. So when he's looking at us, he already knows what mistakes we're going to make, but it doesn't stop his love for us. If you think about it, while we were yet sinners in our very worst state, Christ died for us so that we could have eternal life with him forever. He wants to make this life that we're living better. Not only does he want to do that, but he wants to take us to a whole nother state when we are in our fullness, the intended way that God had created us for, to be able to have fellowship with him. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they were walking with God in the garden. He wants us to be so close with him that we are walking with him every day like we are walking in the garden. He is with us every single day, and he wants us to be encouraged in that. And because he loves us so much, that is why he did what he did. It was not easy. It was not easy bearing all of our sins upon that cross. But you know what? He did it willingly. Why? Because he loves us. And it is unconditional. And it is an area where the enemy wants to try to take that away from us, right? Because his love matters. It matters. Because if he's the creator of everything and knows everything, and can come right where we are and love us, it means that we matter too. The enemy wants us to think, you don't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. Nobody really cares. It's a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you. You, each and every one of us. And we are not going to forget it. We are not going to forget it. It makes a difference. Hallelujah. If you are saved, then you are not condemned because you have been covered by Christ. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the Spirit of the law of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. You see, we don't get what we deserve because he already paid the price. Hallelujah. So it doesn't mean that we take advantage of that and do whatever we want and say, oh, well, I know that I'm forgiven. I know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. No, it means, you know what, Jesus, what you did up on that cross, it matters to me. And I don't want it to be in vain in my life. So because of that, I'm going to do my very best so that I'm not living a habitual life of sin, right? And when we love someone, we correct them. That's what we have to do with children, and that's what God still has to do with us. He's not going to let us sit in sin. No, because sin separates. And we want to get closer and closer to God, not further and further away. So let us all continue to examine ourselves to to make sure that if there are things that we know we should not be doing, that we acknowledge them, that we repent to God, and ask Him for help. Because there are some things that can be kind of hard to let go of, right? Maybe God's saying, let go of that friend. That friend who keeps pulling you and tempting you to go and do things that you know are against my word and against my will. It could mean, okay, you've been praying and asking for healing, not to be sick, but yet you keep eating all the sugary things, you keep doing all the things that you know that you're not supposed to do, which is against your own body. So we have to be mindful of all of those things because He wants us to live in fullness, right? He wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. And when we're loving God and obeying God, we can live a much better life, a life that He has meant for us. Hallelujah. Romans 8:35-39. These scriptures tell us that God's love is powerfully inseparable. Excuse me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will not separate His love from us. Psalm 103, verses 17 and 18 read, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. No, His love not only is separated from us, but it's not separated from our children or our children's children. I don't know if you've been praying for your child or for your grandchild or your great niece, your great nephew, anybody else in your family. God, listen, God is able. He is able to save them, okay? We have to keep that faith and know that when we are praying, He is listening and He is acting. He is working to draw them anyway, right? He's doing all the work. We just continue to encourage and let people know that, listen, God loves you. Help them know it. Let it get deep inside their hearts, because if you don't really believe that somebody loves you, when they try to do things, it's hard to receive from them, right? If somebody comes to you, you don't really know them, and, you know, if somebody walked up to me trying to give me some flowers, hold on. Like, I'm sorry. No, thank you. I'm married, right? So, you know what I mean? But somebody that I know, family members, come to give me gifts or whatever, and I can receive them. God has gifts for all of us, right? There's things that He wants to give and maybe has tried to give, but we really weren't able to receive those gifts, right? Because we didn't have that trust, that close connection, and He wants that for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. This verse also says, because of His love, we are conquerors through Him. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 through 58 read, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stop right there. Whatever battle, whatever it is that you are facing, that feels like, oh my goodness, the enemy is winning, He's not winning. He is not winning. Let me tell you, He comes around prowling like a roaring lion, right? But Jesus is the lion of Judah. Okay? He is the one that is fighting on our behalf. The enemy makes himself to be so big and so powerful and make us feel like, oh my goodness, you know, nothing. God is like, no, the victory is in me and through me. And if he lives inside of us, we have the victory. And we have to make sure that we are speaking these words. We need to encourage one another that we have the victory. No matter what is going on in our community, no matter what is going on in the world, in the U.S., whatever, it doesn't matter. We can still live victorious because God is still in control and God lives within us, and we are going to listen to his words, his word that we have to make sure that we are in as well, because if we don't have his word to rise up, right, to be in the forefront of our minds to fight those thoughts, then we can begin to kind of slip down and start losing. But in the end, we are victorious. Let's speak the word of God, which is inspired by God and full of his love for us. From beginning to end, the Bible is there so that we can have a record of God's works. Then we can tie those works into our own lives and say, wow, God, you know what? There have been some people in some pretty crazy situations in the Bible, right, that seem just futile. But God. Same thing in our lives. That love. But God, he loves you. And because he loves you, he is working all of these things together for your good. He says it is already done. It is already done. He already has the victory. There are some things that we're just waiting to be made manifest in the natural, but we need to pray and we need to have faith and believe. And when we're speaking to things, make sure that what's coming out of our mouths is supporting the fact that we believe that we have the victory, that we believe that God can do the things that we're asking him to do, that he has declared he can do in his word. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should have to repent. Anything that God has said, any promise that he has made, he will keep that promise. Be encouraged. Scripture convinces us that his love is inseparable. I'm going to read another scripture. And I know I've been reading a lot of scriptures today, probably more than I kind of normally do. But I just felt like God just wanted certain things to really get deposited in to all of us today. I have been encouraged just by reading this. Things going on at work, I mean, just so much drama that I started to feel like I'm pulling my hair out. And then he's just like, hello, Jerry. It's not in your strength, right? I mean, think about the word, you know, in his weakness, in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. We're not meant to be, we can't handle everything on our own. That's why we have God. We have God. If he is for us, who can be against us? He is working things together for our good, even when it doesn't look like it or feel like it, or what we see going on says the complete opposite. He wants us to be encouraged and know today that he is working things together for your good, and that he has called you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to have that community and that communion. He wants you to be able to receive that love. He doesn't want you listening to the voice of the enemy that all he's ever going to do is try to lie. His job is to rob, kill, and to destroy. And he tries to do this with the truth. He'll try to manipulate the truth, even use pieces of scripture against us. And if we're not careful, if we don't have a listening ear and the discernment of the Holy Spirit to help us to know which way is right, we can begin to believe the lies of the enemy. But not today. And not moving forward, because we are going to listen to the voice of the Lord, who is repeatedly saying the same thing. I love you. I am with you. I am for you. The victory is in me. You're not alone. And you are worthy. You are worthy to receive his love. That was another thing God was talking to me about just probably yesterday morning. And I just burst into tears because I'm like, God, I wasn't even really thinking about it, but for him to speak, you are worthy. I mean, oh my goodness. Like, God, singling this out to me, I'm in the room by myself, and I just burst into tears because, I mean, I love him, and I want to receive all that he has, but sometimes I hear those voices too. I hear those voices. You know what I mean? Like, who do you think you are? You know what I mean? Like, you really think God even talked to you? You really think he loves you, okay, with this, this, and this? And it's like, no, because he wants to push us down. And if we feel like we're not worthy, right, we shrink. We do. We shrink. And it's very hard for us to receive. But God says you are worthy, so you can stand up straight. You can hold your head high because you belong to me. I am the king of the universe. And if I say that you are worthy, my word trumps everyone else's word. It trumps everyone else's actions. It trumps everything else. His word seals the deal. It seals the deal. You are worthy of love. You are loved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. His love powerfully works for our good. He works to help us to be conformed into his image, to be more like his son, who is seated at the right hand of God, our number one advocate. He can say, hold up now. you may try to throw some blows, but let me see you try to hit me. What? You want to talk about all these superhero movies where people have powers and stuff is blocked and everything else? Honey, they got all of that from looking at the life of Jesus and looking what God did throughout this Bible. God has moved rocks. He's moved mountains. The wind has moved away, blown away. He's done things to the sun. He stopped time. I mean, come on. This is the God that we serve. If we can believe this today, if we can start acting on that belief that God loves us, that he's for us, then we can walk in the purpose that he has for us. There's so much that he wants to do in us and through us to reach this world. There are so many people who feel like they're not loved, like they don't matter. And you know, I mean, it cripples a person. We have the truth. We have Jesus. We have experienced his love. We have experienced him giving us the strength that we need, bringing us through sickness, comforting us when we've lost loved ones. I mean, he is like no other. I don't care what other religion is out there. That God is not the God. He is the God of all gods, and he is on our side. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Zoltan, if you want to come, he's going to sing this song again. And I want you to let the words just kind of wash over you. And where it says, oh, how he loves us, I want you to think about, oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. And you can say your name. Oh, how he loves Cherry Lynn. Oh, my goodness. You know, if there's a family member that you're praying for, oh, how he loves, and sing out their name because he loves them. He cares for them. Hallelujah. And let's leave this place just knowing that we know that we know that we know that if there's nothing else, he loves us and he's for us and he's working things together for our good.